So we are almost into the new year. What are you thinking about 2026 this morning? Will 2026 be different and different from and better than 2025 for you and your family? I don't know, but I suspect that's a question many of us are asking and wondering about, and with good reason. 2025 was an interesting year, to say the least. There were brush fires in California causing massive damage. Hurricane Melissa left a trail of devastation in Jamaica. There was the ongoing war between Russia and the Ukraine. There were ongoing tensions in the Middle East. It seemed you could not turn on the news without hearing about some act of violence. But there was also good news. We have an American Pope for the first time, Pope Leo. And every one of us could tell stories about what 2025 was like for us and our families and our friends personally, such as the unfortunate fire at the Bass Bay Brew House. We pray for all of those affected by this tragedy. Despite all of the gloom and doom, my guess is that we're hoping and praying for 2026 to be different from and better than 2025. In the same way we hoped and prayed that 2025 would be different from 2024. Maybe those hopes and prayers, though sincere and well-intentioned, are misdirected. Maybe asking if 2026 will be different from and better than 2025 isn't the question we should be asking. And here's why I say that. It exteriorizes our focus and places it on other people and circumstances. It seeks information instead of transformation. It lets us off the hook and lets us avoid ourselves. Maybe the question we should be asking, the prayer we should be praying, and the thing for which we should be hoping isn't about 2026, but about ourselves. It's not about whether 2026 will be different than 2025, but whether we will. Will you and I in 2026 be different from and better than we were in 2025? I think the question is less about the events of 2025 and more about our fear. I think the answer to that question depends on whether and how we deal with our fear. We have fear of the future, fear that we don't have as much control or power as we want, fear of change and losing what we have, fear of our mortality and the fragility of life, and ultimately, sometimes fear of each other. What are your fears about 2026? What are the leftover fears you have brought with you today from last year? Where are you stuck? Can you identify the places your life is stuck, and you'll not only find fear, but a life that wants to enter the world through you? If we want to grow up and live the life that wants to enter the world through us, then we must deal with our fear. That's the challenge facing Herod and Joseph in today's gospel, and it's the challenge facing us in the coming year. Fear is a thread that runs through today's gospel. Both Herod and Joseph are afraid. Herod was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, when wise men from the east ask about the child who has been born king of the Jews. And how can Joseph not be afraid? Herod wants to kill Jesus, and Joseph has been given responsibility for protecting the lives of Jesus and Mary and getting them safely to Egypt. Matthew says that Joseph was afraid to return to the land of Israel when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in the place of his father. There's a lot of fear in today's gospel and in today's world. It's not hard to imagine what Herod and Joseph might be afraid of. We need only to look at our own lives. But today I'm more interested in what they did with their fear. They handle themselves in two very different ways. They help us see by the ways which we handle our fear. You see, Herod and Joseph live in each of us. The thing that strikes me about Joseph is his dreams. In today's gospel, he has three dreams upon which he acts. And here's what I think is significant about that. They show that Joseph was connected to his inner world and that he trusted it. He experienced himself as part of something bigger than the tangible sensory world, something larger than he could even imagine. Joseph had a link to the infinite. He experienced a numinous within himself, and that changes how we deal with our outer world. I don't think our interior world, whether we experience it through prayer, dreams, or visions, necessarily gives us instruction or marching orders. Instead, it enlarges our life and world. It opens us to see, hear, and consider more. It raises new questions and offers additional information to be pondered. It's interesting to me that Joseph, in today's gospel, never says one word, nor does he ever say anything in the Bible. Instead, he is receptive and listening. He seeks guidance from within. In contrast to Joseph, however, Herod seeks guidance from the outside, from wise men. He believes they have his answers. He is not silent. He asks questions and gives orders. He tells the wise men, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word." His world is only as big as that as which he can control. He's disconnected from any power greater than himself, and that's a scary place to be. Herod, unlike Joseph, refuses to do his own inner work. He sends the wise men to do it for him. And I have news for you. Nobody else can do our work for us. And it leaves Herod feeling tricked and infuriated to the point of violence. He killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under. And it began with fear. Herod rules by fear and is ruled by fear. Fear is what caused Herod to search for Jesus, and fear is what caused him to kill all the babies, two and under. As long as we are unwilling to face ourselves and the fears that live within each of us, we will be possessed by that fear. Fear not dealt with always diminishes life, our own, or someone else's, or our family's. That's not how I want to live, and that's not the legacy I want to either leave or perpetuate. And I don't think you want to either. I want to be different from and better than that, don't you? Let's consider for a moment the ways in which fear intersects our lives. Imagine the life you want for yourself or your family. How is that being disrupted by fear? By what values are you living your life? And in what ways is fear present in those values? Where are the patterns of your life by which you do the same thing over and over again? What are you avoiding, ignoring, or hiding from? In what ways do you overcompensate? And what's the fear behind all that? The author James Hollis has once said, "There is nothing wrong with being fearful. That is human. But it's wrong to live a life governed by fear." That's the difference between Herod and Joseph. Herod's life is possessed by fear. Joseph's life is motivated and energized by fear. How might you deal with your fear differently in 2026? What do you need to change or let go of? The issue isn't whether we will at times be fearful. That's a given. We will. The issue is what we do with that fear and what we allow it to do with us. And it seems there are two basic responses. Herod's fear caused him to take life. Joseph's fear caused him to protect life. Both happen in 1,000 different ways. Look at any place where fear is present, and you'll see life takers and life protectors. Sometimes I've been like Herod myself, and sometimes I've been like Joseph. I bet that's true for you as well. It's the choice that stands before us every time we face our fear. Herod or Joseph. That choice just might determine whether 2026 is different from and better than 2025.